we must first learn to become friends with our son. This is what Satura had pointed out again and again. Just as with the tragedy of his sister Siti, it is always easy to be wise after the event. As far as the disaster near the planet Tagra was concerned, my friend told me that they had taken every precaution. First of all, because of the many plants they were taking back to their home planet, they thought it necessary to separate the Tagra mission, which Satura explained as a strategic mistake. The second and biggest mistake came from the memory of the memory computers, which had incorrect information about the magnetic type of interference by Tagra. Tagra's interference had caused the death of several other spacecraft, interrupting the positive power return from the activated control ship cells. But the accident had followed exactly the same pattern as an earlier disaster, many hundreds of years apart. Because of the geyser-like reoccurrence of Tagra's activities, the approach of Mr. Hua's control craft was believed all right. Reaching the orbit of the ill-fated planet, the negative power necessary for Mr. Hua's craft to be kept out of the planet's surge suddenly was absorbed by the planet itself, and with a split second, the craft exploded. Then comes a footnote down on page 205. Footnote: all computers, I was told, are interconnected with some giant intercosmic ring computing center our out-of-space friends call FATEX. Read about FATEX in the second book. And then here also mentions the second book, which I hope to find, but well, it will be very important to try to find that book. Then comes chapter 20, spacecraft over Central America. There are fashions on literature just as in clothes. There are fashionable crazes and movements. A generation ago there were teddy boys, now there are hippies and skinheads. There are flower people claiming apparently to be trying out a new attitude of life. You must remember this was written around 69-70, and then just the hippie wave came over Earth and extended into the early 70s. I continue. It is with none of these or any other movement in mind that I began writing about the E.T.B. Ryans and their philosophy. I simply hope that my humble contribution as a mark of my devotion to Siti, daughter of an E.T.B. Ryans vice president, stepped in the stepped in the knowledge of our earthborn composers, poets, religious leaders and scientists, herself a scientist of some accomplishment, may lead to a wider knowledge and appreciation of the moral wisdom she brought into my life. I still cannot fathom why I should have been selected from all Earthmen to befriend and help the visitors from E.T.B. Ra 2, or why I should have had the experience of being introduced to their way of life. I am just grateful to this that this happened, even though I cannot rationalize these things correctly. Not that I have tried to do so. I know the most of what I was able to translate and write must seem like the travels of another Gulliver. Returning to my property on that memorable 15th of January 1969, I did not feel like talking to my housekeeper or the next door gardener who was cleaning my little beach. So I stepped up to the garage, took the car and drove off towards capital of this beautiful Central American country. But my mind was wandering. I have not the remotest idea how I went through the city traffic that night. I kept on driving until I found myself on the dusty San Vicente mountain road near Sacatucoluca, leading up to the village of San Pedro Nonulalco. From a previous visit, I remembered the home of a very good friend, and as I was almost midnight when I opened his door, I asked him if I could stay the night. I slept until almost 10 a.m. the next morning and was awakening by the shout of the newspaper boys. They were yelling their heads off about a flying saucer having been seen over the capital of San Jacinto Hills that surrounds the lake where I live. I read the newspaper very carefully. It was the first time that I had serious and sincere witness of what I was writing about. Big letters, flying saucers over San Salvador, said the first page headline. Then, witnesses having been on top of tall building described what they had seen. Their fairly accurate reports caused something of a sensation. Of course, the newspaper did not report that Satura had come to visit me, even if they knew. And grimly, I reflected that if he had had the nerve to make a landing just a few miles from the great international airport of Ilopango, he could have as well asked for permission to land in full view of the entire Central American population. From the reports, it seemed that shortly before his visit on the rock, the spacecraft was reported over the Cerro de San Jacinto and had been continued high above San Marcos. The amazing thing is that the spacecraft had silently and for quite a long time stayed in an observation position directly over the extensive capital town of San Salvador, exposed to the vision of several hundred thousand people. The split-second landing on the lake, which I did not observe because I must have just stepped up the Isla de los Diezos, was seen by a neighbor of mine a few seconds after those observations recorded in a newspaper report. The neighbor saw the craft coming down at a tremendous speed and sitting as on an air cushion between the islands of Las Coamandos and Los Patos, exactly midway between the home and the Ibao River outlet of the huge tropical lake. But what does all this mean? I'm sure that if the Itibarians would walk through the kitchen and living room of my readers, very few would have the courage to admit to their neighbors or the press what they have experienced, seen or heard. Why? Not just as I have explained before, because of fear of being called ridiculous or insane, but simply because out of every true report, a thousand fantastically distorted tales have been fabricated. And this is precisely what happened over, on the 15th of January 1969 in El Salvador, Central America. First, the two reports came in. The reports from the eyewitness, all sincere and serious citizens. Then late at night, the reports of made-up stories, the rumors, the far-fetched accounts of people having seen real monsters out of space, Draculas, one-eyed giants, etc. Of course, some have seen only midgets of the size of ants creeping through their bedrooms. Others have called all this a lot of nonsense because, in reality, the observed saucer they swore had been disembarking a regiment of Russian troops. I had lunch with my friend, and because he had some business to attend in the capital, we drove down the country road, returning towards Sacatucoala and the big town of San Salvador. After having had some coffee with my friends in a small coffee shop opposite the Grand Hotel, I arrived at my lake house in the afternoon. My housekeeper was watching the orange trees on the lower terraces when she saw me. "Senor," she exclaimed, are you all right? You did not come home all night? The automobile, I thought you had an accident. I'm perfectly fit, as you see. I just fancied a night drive, that's all I said, and went inside the house. She gave me a very old-fashioned look. The good woman did not know what to think of my sudden disappearance without my telling her anything. Her outraged expression clearly hinted that she thought I had spent the night with one of the coastal beauties of the lake villages. I have never before told anyone about the last visit of my friends. Until I had finished the manuscript about all this, nobody knew about my latest experience in Central America. But I have kept the headlines of the newspapers, and I have made several sound recordings of the witnesses who have seen the spacecraft, and in particular one of my neighbors who saw the craft landing on the lake. I do not know if any person on the lake having seen the return of the spacecraft, nor do I myself know on which part of the lake Satura took his speedboat in order to be picked up. Contrary to what other spacecraft observers have described, the Iturbe-Reyan control craft did not show any kind of illumination during darkness. That was the last of chapter 20. Next is chapter 21. And that says biography of an astronaut. Before I start to write this short biography of a great human being, let me tell you that the character of my friend, and I should add our friend, Mr. Satura, is only a reflection of a valuable culture all Iturbe-Reyans enjoy. Satura himself was not an outstanding man, if you compare him, for instance, with Mr. Hua, his second in command. His kindness and goodness was the same as the unselfish kindness and goodness of all the other astronauts. But as a friend and as a man who has brought the wisdom of cosmophilosophy, of cosmic religion to this planet Earth, the following description of his life may be interesting, as for instance the life of another great explorer, Christopher Columbus. Satura was born near a natural beauty spot on his home planet, very close to the Iberian equator, called Cotosoti, in the neighborhood of the large biological research center and settlement called Silox. By our reckoning, he was born in the year 1720 on the 25th of August. So when I met him, he was about 250 years old. If we compared his lifespan with that of an ordinary human being, this would bring Satura to his early 40s, in the prime of life. He knows the approximate time of his own death, somewhere between year 2210 and 2220, unless, of course, he is killed by some similar accident that and here is some page confusion, so I must scroll up on the PDF file, which overwhelmed his sister city. It must be remembered that the ages achieved by our planetary friends are entirely comparative, whereas our average age since biblical times has been about 40 or 50 years. Although the Palmist says the man reached 70 and sometimes 80 years old, the age of the prehistoric man was less than half of this. Therefore, our friends, with their great biological achievements and physical evolution, attain a normal average age of several times that experienced by humanity today. Satura's parents are still living. They are retired biomedical scientists, and their home is at Silox, a delightful dwelling by the beautiful river set amidst lush tropical surroundings. He comes of an illustrious Iberian family, for his grandparents were both famous people on their own planet and gained the love and affection of all Iberians and the respect of the community for their valuable work in discovering an extremely interesting new instrument by which life process can be observed. Satura always spoke very highly of his parents, but his admiration was for his grandparents, who, as well as perfecting this wonderful bioscope, also carried out valuable research in the fields of biomedical and intercosmic technology. For a term of 7 years, Satura's father was vice president of Itibira II. Because of the renown of his parents and grandparents, particularly the latter, Satura was subsequently chosen to head various Iberian intercosmic research teams. Satura has an orthodox Iberian religious upbringing. In their spare time, both his parents were religious leaders in Silox settlement, where some 10,000 families lived in an expansive area covering something like 5,000 square miles of the equatorial belt. As a child, Satura was brought up by his parents and until he was 5 or 6 years of age. Then he was introduced to the marvelous child education system that exists on Itibira II. I myself saw part of the system at work through the medium of the A-Center computer. In common with other young children, Satura was sent to an education center. The separation of such a young child from its parents may seem faintly repugnant to human beings, but the system is only the logical outcome of a child's own wish to be independent, to be put into a learning situation from which it derives much pleasure. All creatures have this same wish for independence. The Tiberians merely provide the opportunity at a slightly younger age than most other civilizations. The Tiberian children seem perfectly content with this system. They are happy to visit their parents during school holidays from the time they are about six. There is no false sentiment attached to this system, but there is love born out of understanding, kindness and respect. In all, Satura spent 20 years at various education centers. This seemed a very long time indeed for a full education, but Satura pointed out that it took longer for a boy to develop into a man on Itibera 2 than it did for manhood to be reached on Earth. There is no unisex education on Itibera 2. All boys and girls mix together from the time they are sent to the first educational center. They not only mix in the classroom, but also in their outdoor games and sports. Often they run about in the sun quite naked. The Itibereans see all this as a preparation to keep them active, sporting, healthy and mentally clean for the rest of their life. Of their lives, plural. Well, sex is not explained in a classroom, but by an analytical study of animals under observation conditions. The A-center education that young Itibereans receive would certainly not be possible for youngsters on Earth at the present time. But I was sure that everything that the Itiberean educationalists did was motivated by completely sincerity, in an attempt to obtain absolutely natural behavior. It is this approach that prevents them, for example, from having that feeling of guilt over sexual relationships, which is so much a feature of Western civilizations of Earth today. At the age of 20, Satura was introduced into the serious but always cheerful pattern of general education. This included all accepted branches of scientific knowledge, from mathematics to chemistry, languages, literature and history, art and archaeology, psychology and philosophy, as well as many other fields of learning. The Itibereans believe that as we are not yet sufficiently developed or far enough on the pattern of evolution, we are not yet able to create something and to keep it in a healthy biological condition, in spite of our great technical achievements. We have not yet reached the proper understanding of nature, of the nature of God. The A-center education was organized as a system of different rings, somewhat similar to an ordinary university. Advanced subjects catered for within these rings included evolution, or what they called science of nature in action, the relationship of intercosmic science, the science of exarche, which is the correct Itiberian phrase for the science of aromatic food processing, the science of intercosmic religion, the science of intercosmic development, which is part of the attachment of neighboring planets, the technical development of oasis planets and other advanced techniques such as Earth has not yet dreamed of. The footnote I passed, it says, which is part of Fatih Center, read the second book. Yes, here they talk of a second book, which indicate that Polman wrote a second book, or intended to write a second book. So I hope to get to come across that second book, so we can share that this important stuff through the internet. Take a look at time. I continue. It would be impossible for me to overemphasize the value of the many important Nidibarine subjects which future generations of Earth will be wise to pursue in order to follow, although somewhat tardily, the development of other cosmic civilizations. I would like to devote more space to the subjects that I so taught in the Eye Center, but if I did, I would stray from the main theme of cosmic religion and enter the world of Jules Verne, a man who certainly was inspired with prescience concerning future events. On reflection, I am certain that a study of Satura's education and development will show the path that human conduct and behavior will follow, although it will be many hundreds of years before our human descendants achieve the state of development that Satura and his fellow countrymen have long since enjoyed. Satura's education at the General A Computer Center, to give them their correct title, and at the various rings he attended, did not differ from the education received by other young Itibirians. On graduating, however, his records were analyzed, he was recognized as a brilliant student, and he was selected for a very exclusive coterie designed to go to Fatex, the memory of memory rings. Fatex students, fellow the special leadership course that would enable them to hold the high office on any one on the five Itibirine planets that form their planetary system. The very word Ra signifies a group of planets belonging to one solar system. I might add that all other civilizations had much the same political and educational system as those on Itibira II. At the Fatex Ra Center, again, I will give its full name. Satura was kept busy along with his colleagues, developing self-assurance, powers of individual leadership, the attribute of courage to make decisions, and the standards of intercosmic intelligence. This was a vast program for the students, but they were helped by the thousands of interplanetary and intercosmic computers, and by the 444 memories, all of memories, all of which were in continuous contact with Itibira II and with each other. The Fatex Ra Center explains the very reason for cosmic development. It remains the arbiter for all intercosmic relationships. After graduating from the Fatex Ra Education Center, Satura joined the intercosmic research team. Apart from navigational studies, he worked for the next 50 years in intercosmic biological research. This was the most romantic period in his life, for during it he married several times. Two of his wives belonged to the same research team as himself. Itibirian marriages need some little explanation, and I think I take a break here and go on with that on another audio file, because we have reached nearly about 30 minutes now, which I use as the normal play of time.